Would you open your Bible, turn on your devices to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And we are going to begin with the first verse, Romans 12, verses 1 through 8, from the New King James Version. This is what it says. The Apostle Paul writing to the church at Rome, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be unto God.
Amen. Would you please be seated? So we're still this morning in this lesson on spiritual gifts. And so the Lord led me to Romans chapter 12 because in Romans 12 verses 4 through 8, it talks about various kinds of gifts, diversity of gifts. And I thought that that would be where I would do the teaching. Instead, the first two verses of this passage, the first two verses in this section about living sacrifices to God is where what claims our attention this morning. And so we want to look at verses 1 and 2. It says, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so that is this statement claimed my attention and caught my attention as I wanted to move through to talk about the spiritual gifts. But apparently the Apostle Paul wanted to use this opening statement to lay the groundwork for what has to happen in the heart and the mind of believers in order for us to identify and deploy our spiritual gifts in a way that pleases God and blesses the church. So before we can use our gifts, there has to be a mindset,
yes, sir,
and a change in heart.
Amen.
That is required before you can begin to minister. We begin with the decision to present ourselves to God, right? That's a decision. That is to commit ourselves fully to God through our relationship with Jesus Christ. So it doesn't make sense for anybody to try to use a gift in the church if you're not saved. Right? So this is the foundation. Because just like in the church at Rome, in every church, there are individuals who attend church out of some sense of obligations, that since they are filling an obligation rather than their connection to Jesus Christ. So they are church members, but not necessarily members of the body of Christ. And so Paul wants to distinguish those kind of individuals to say to us that in order for the church to function as God has ordered it, that the people who function within the church has to have a relationship with God. You have to be identified with Christ. So we begin with a decision to present ourselves to God. That is to commit ourselves fully through our relationship with Jesus Christ. And we know from Scripture that it is the Holy Spirit who dwells in us that inspires us to make that decision. Right? So before we can be used of God, according to Paul, before we can be used of God the way God wants to use us, we have to take a step to commit ourselves to Him.
Amen.
Right? And that decision that comes to us to commit ourselves to Him is the work of the Holy Spirit in us.
Amen.
You follow me?
Yes.
It's the work of the Holy Spirit in us, because the Bible says it is He who works in us both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. That's Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. So this letter to the church at Rome is written to believers who are living in a certain cultural context. This is written to people who are living under the Greco-Roman culture, influenced in the Empire of Rome. So those of you who know history, you know that Greece was a powerful nation, and it fell to Rome, but its influence is still powerful even today. And so it's called Greco-Roman influence because it is Greece and Roman together. And believers who lived in Rome was influenced by this powerful cultural pull. They lived under constant pressure to conform to the norms and practices of Rome. Y'all got that? They were expected to worship the Roman emperor and to chant Caesar is Lord and offer a pinch of incense every year. Christians were required to do that, but they couldn't do it because it went against their confession of faith that Jesus Christ is Lord. Right? And so there's this cultural pull. There was a consistent temptation in their daily lives to worship the little Roman gods like everybody else was doing. And it may not seem like a big deal, but it was a sign of loyalty to the empire. But to worship any god other than Yahweh is idolatry.
Amen.
And so the people that Paul is writing to are very much like you and I, who are influenced by the American culture. The way we think, the way we believe, our values really are influenced by the American culture. There were social pressures to prioritize making money and gaining material possessions and seeking status and notoriety, when Jesus clearly taught believers to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Right.
So believers were dealing with this internal conflict, the spiritual struggle that takes place in the hearts and minds of believers. It's a struggle for spiritual maturity that every believer faces in this life. Even the Apostle Paul faced it. Y'all remember what he said? He said, the good that I want to do, I don't do that. He says, I know what God wants me to do. I understand it clearly, and I want to do it, but every time I try to do right, evil is always present. Y'all remember he said that? He said, the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. And the good that I want to do, I'm often blocked from it. Now, in Paul's case, what he was talking about was covetousness. That's what Paul was talking about. He says, I didn't know that coveting was a sin until I saw the law. And when I saw the law, it said, thou shalt not covet. Then I identified that sin in me. And he said, I am not a great speaker. I don't have great looks. There are other men in ministry who are doing much better, apparently much better than I am. And I just wish I had that gift to articulate like some of the other ones. That's coveting. And Paul said, every time I try to suppress that in me, it comes back up. Now, with Paul, this coveting, what is it with you? What is it in you that displeases God, and every time you press it down, it rises up again? So you desire to do good. Amen. Every believer that I know, every person that I think is a genuine Christian, a genuine believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, has a desire to do good, desires to live for God. But we just can't pull it off all the time. Amen. Paul says, in light of this persistent problem, in light of the fact that you want to do good, but culture is always pulling at you and tugging at you and influencing you, in light of that, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, all people who are part of God's plan of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, who are now in covenant relationship with God and who reflect God's presence in the world, he says, I beseech you, I urge you, I implore you by the mercies of God to present yourself a living sacrifice. He says, I urge you. In other words, present yourself. In other words, look how good God has been to you. The mercies of God. God has been so gracious and kind, so compassionate towards you, pouring out his goodness, his mercy, and his forgiveness of sin, supplying you with life and resources and love. It just makes sense that you present yourself a living sacrifice. God has been so good to us. He's been better to us than we even deserve. Have I got a witness this morning? You can't even count the blessings that God has poured out in your life. God has blessed you and I so abundantly that even if we tried to count and write them down, we would leave some out. God has blessed us abundantly. And he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. Paul is saying, I understand the cultural pull on your life. I understand the struggle for spiritual maturity, but you understand that you can still present yourself to God because God is merciful, because God is gracious, and because God will never turn you down. Present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. It means actively choosing to dedicate your life. Actively. To control your actions to the best of your ability and your choices so that to the God of your salvation. It's acknowledging that God is and the ruler of all creation. To present yourself to him means making an effort. It's work. It takes commitment and dedication, patience and tenacity. It's about living out your divine purpose, living with integrity and being faithful to your commitment to Jesus, learning to live out the principles that he taught. Presenting your body a living sacrifice to God means being willing to make the sacrifice in order to make a positive impact on your family, and on the world around you. You are a living sacrifice as opposed to a dead sacrifice. Now, this whole idea of sacrifice comes from the Old Testament, doesn't it? And when we think about sacrifice, we think about the lamb that was used for the atonement. It was a lamb that was slain, its body was dead, and the carcass was placed on the altar. You are not a dead sacrifice, you are a living sacrifice, which means you can continually present yourself to God. You fall down, God gets you back up. You go astray, God brings you back. You move because you are a living sacrifice. And there are times when a living sacrifice can crawl off the altar. But thank God, he can bring you back. You can present yourself continually before God. First of all, through worship. When you worship, you are presenting yourself before God. When you worship in spirit and truth, it becomes a transforming experience. To bow down in the presence of God and worship with other believers does something to your heart and to your mind. God blesses you in a special way, in unique ways, when you take time to worship on a regular schedule. And that's why Satan is always trying to interrupt your worship schedule, because he knows that every time you gather with the saints in the place of worship and you bow down in the presence of God to worship him in spirit and in truth, that God is doing something special on your inside. He is transforming you in the very presence of Jesus Christ. And so your worship is one way of presenting yourself to God to be transformed. Worship. Some of y'all had trouble this morning getting to worship. For some of us, it seems like that's when the devil gets most busy, when you're planning to show up for worship.
Right, right.
He'll give you a slight headache. You can't find your car keys. Somebody is getting on your nerve. You can't find your other shoe. He tries all kinds of tricks. The kids start acting up. He tries all kinds of things to keep you from worship. Because he knows when you show up and you worship in spirit and in truth, that God is looking for you. He understands that God has something for you that you can't get anywhere except at worship. Present your bodies a living sacrifice in the worship experience. But then you also present yourself to God as you open his word. The word of God has power to strengthen your faith. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God strengthens you. It reinforces your faith. It gives you guidance. It makes known the power and promises of God. It's meat, it's milk, and it's medicine for your soul. When you open the word of God, you are presenting yourself to God in order to receive instruction. Amen. Open the Bible, say, I'm here, Lord. Speak to me. I'm here, Lord. I'm listening. My ears are open. My heart is ready. Show me. Order my steps in your word. Amen. Guide my life in your word. Let me find strength in your word. Hide the word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And hide the word in my heart so when the enemy comes up against me, I can use the only offensive weapon that I have in my arsenal, which is the word of God. So when the devil tells me I can't, I say in the name of Jesus I can. When the devil tells me I'm a failure, I say in the name of Jesus I rise up. I can claim the promises of God's word. When the devil tells me I'm a loser, the word of God says I'm a winner. I use that word to help me to understand how to navigate through life. Amen. The word of God. And then not only do we present ourselves to God in worship, and not only do we present ourselves to God when we open his word, we also present ourselves to God through our works. And that's what Paul is getting at in the next section of this passage. But to present yourself to God in work is exercising your spiritual gifts in a way that is presenting yourself before God. Yes. Exercise your, and maybe that's why Satan don't want you to find out what your gift is. Maybe that's why when the offer to understand and discover your spiritual gift it fell on dead ears. Because God doesn't want you to know your gift. Because the devil doesn't want you to know your gift. Because he knows if you discover it and you deploy it in the church and it's empowered by the Holy Spirit, then the church is more dangerous to the devil than any other time. Present yourself to God. Just as you dedicate yourself fully to a cause or to a passion or a goal, presenting yourself to God as a living sacrifice is about giving your best effort to living a meaningful and purposeful life that is in harmony with God's perfect will. Paul says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Holy and acceptable. What did Paul mean by holy and acceptable to God? Paul is writing to believers. He's writing to people who have already been made righteous through their faith in Jesus Christ. They have already believed that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for their sins, and through Jesus' death on the cross, they were made righteous by his blood. The cross does not show God as cruel as some would suppose, but the cross shows God as a loving God who demonstrates an extreme act of love so that we might have eternal life. A God with the power to raise Jesus from the dead after Jesus gave his life on the cross. We can come before God not on any merit of our own, because we are all drawn away from time to time. None of us stay on the straight and narrow. All of us are drawn away from time to time, no matter how young or how old. There are some drawn away in their actions, behavior, and practices, so we can see that. When you're acting ungodly, we can see that. When you're acting out your sin, we can see that, and that's being drawn away. But there are others who are drawn away with their thoughts. We can't see that. And in their attitudes and in their motives, and we can't see that. But what the Bible does say is that all have sinned and come short of God's expectation. And so thank God for his grace. By grace, we are able to present our bodies holy and acceptable to God. It is by the mercies of God that makes it possible for anyone to present himself or herself to God. You can't do it on your own. I know you look nice, and I think you got it all together. And every time I see you, you're acting like a child of God. But I don't see you every time. All of us got some issues. None of us, from the preacher to the door, none of us have arrived.
That's right.
We're still all on our way. But thanks be unto God because of the grace of God, that every time we present ourselves to God, no matter how dirty we may have gotten, the blood of Jesus, hallelujah, washes us clean, and it keeps us clean in the presence of God. So go ahead and present your body a living sacrifice, holy, not because you have any holiness, righteous, not because you have any righteousness, because we are all the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And so when I show up at my Father's door and I knock on that door to gain entrance, I know that he's going to receive me because I've been washed. I've been washed in the blood, holy and acceptable. Maybe not to you, but you ain't God. You didn't send your son to die on Calvary. You don't have the power to raise him from the dead. Present ourselves to God. You present yourself to God because you acknowledge the sovereignty of God. that God is able to do for you what no one else can. That God has the power to change your life. That He has the power to mend your brokenness. That He has the power to lift you from despair, to give you a vision for your life, and to empower you to live it. You can cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. You can take your concerns and questions to the Lord, and He will give you what you are searching for. He will be with you, so you're never alone, and you will recognize His voice. Present yourself to God through Christ, because God is sovereign. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power at work in you. But then you present yourself to as a living sacrifice to God because you can trust Him. Trust God because there is no one greater. He is able and willing to guide and support you. The Bible teaches us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all your being, with all your might. Trust in the Lord with everything that's in you. And lean not to your own understanding, because you don't know everything. You don't have all the answers. You're intelligent. You're resourceful. You have life experience, but you still don't have all the answers. God has the answers. And if you trust in Him with all your might and not lean to your own understanding, if in all your ways you acknowledge Him, He will give you the answers. He will direct your path. And y'all know something? There are times we're like sheep. That's why Jesus called us sheep. He called us sheep. Because the sheep is led by the shepherd. And if you ever seen a picture of Bedouin shepherds, it's not that the shepherd is out in front of the sheep leading the sheep. The Bedouin shepherd is right in the middle of the sheep. He's in the middle of the sheep. And whenever he walks, whatever direction he walks, sheep that are at the fringes, they can't even see the shepherd, but they move in the direction of the shepherd. There are times in your life and mine when we are moving in the direction of the shepherd, saying what the shepherd would have us to say, and we're not even aware of that. And then we can look back and say, it was nothing but God that brought me to this point. Have I got a witness this morning? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You might not be able to see Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make a way for you. Trusting in the Lord is knowing without doubt that all things work together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. God is working stuff out in the life of His people. He's working it out. He may not be working it according to your plan, but He's working it according to His plan. If you trust in the Lord and you believe in God, you understand that all things work together for your good. It might not feel good. It might not look good. But in the end, it's for your good, especially for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Have I got a witness in the house this morning? Trusting. It's about believing that everything will work out for the best. It's about trusting God. It's about believing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Amen. And the peace of God, which guards your heart, will give you peace that no one can understand. Amen. Amen. Don't worry. God will work it out. There's some seasoned individuals in here who don't worry about certain stuff anymore. We've lived long enough to know that if we just tell God about it and leave it with Him. Come on. Have I got any witnesses in our... See, there's some people here this morning who are in the midst of their struggle. There's some people here today that are going through what you've already been through. And they need to know that God is able to bring them out. They need to understand that they can go ahead at night and go to sleep, not worry, because God will. Have I got a witness this morning? He will work it out. He will work it out. He will work it out. Trusting God. Trusting God. Believing that everything will work out for the best. And when things are uncertain and difficult, just turn it over to Jesus. That's what I do. Just tell God about it, because there ain't nothing I could do. Once I've done everything I know to do, and I've done all I can, and I can't do anything else, I've done what God requires me to do, because God expects for me to do my part. And after I have done my part, I turn it over and let Him work it out. Amen. Amen. God is more trustworthy than your closest friend. Trusting God means relying on an unseen personal force to help you navigate life's ups and downs with courage and hope and a sense of purpose. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And by doing so, your mind will be renewed by the transforming power of God. Y'all see how that goes? You can't renew your own mind. But when you dedicate to God and you get close to Him in worship and you bow yourself and present yourself to Him in His word, and when you present yourself through the works, then in that you are being transformed. Your mind will be renewed by the transforming power of God. Then you will experience the spiritual growth that's needed to resist the devil and to live with a clear understanding of what pleases God and what does not. You will experience spiritual growth and maturity. The transforming power of God will mature your faith through trials and experiences, shaping your character into Christ's likeness and giving us the determination to move onward and upward, deepening our relationship with Him. The transforming power of God helps you to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He will bless your life, His will for your life, that you might have life and that more abundantly, that you may know the quality of joy that only God can give, that you may know His will for your life and know the kind of peace of mind and heart that surpasses human understanding. His will is that you live in obedience and glorify Him in all that you do. And when this life is over, it is His will that you truly experience the beauty of eternal life. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies living sacrifice. You need to show up. You need to show up. You dirty, show up anyway. You drunk, show up anyway. You high, show up anyway. Your mom and them put you out, show up anyway. Things are not going right at the job, show up. You got laid off, show. You got fired finally, show up anyway. Present your bodies. Present your body. Present yourself a living sacrifice to God. Because God has been good to you, and He's still being good to you. Present yourself by the mercies of God, which is just makes sense. It it's your reasonable service. It's logic. It just makes sense. And do not be conformed to this world. And the devil's trying to get you as soon as you leave the building today. When you show up at your job tomorrow morning, when you turn on your television, he'll be there. Do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will. Would the church say amen? Amen.